John Sim with us, ladies and gentlemen. How exciting is that? John Sim is here with us in the studio. John, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We sent the taxi to the wrong address. There was a misser. That's why you were waiting. Were you waiting around? Were you pacing up and down?
I was waiting around and pacing up and down, yeah.
It's always a, it's a tense moment when a taxi
Very, 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 very shabby.
Did you at any stage consider walking?
I just walked around the living room a lot and waited.
You didn't think of trying to come in under your own steam?
No. No, absolutely no way.
Me, when I was doing my Pinder play, I walked to the theatre.
Did you?
Yeah, I was so keen not to miss it, but I hadn't learned the lines.
Well, wasn't the theatre in his front room?
Yeah, that's what I couldn't understand.
It was near a pizza house above a flat somewhere. It was all very, very ad hoc. do you ever get those dreams, those sort of anxiety dreams before a big performance?
No, I get sort of nightmares, you know, waking nightmares before I actually walk on stage.
So you, a degree of stage fright then?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, when we started doing the previews of this play last Friday, and because the last time I was on stage a couple of years ago, I did Elling. And
which, by the way, was a huge success.
Yeah, it went very well.
The reviews I saw of that, and I didn't get to see it. I really want to see it. You played a Norwegian nutter.
Yeah.
And it said the reviews got... There were fantastic reviews. I know some people here went to see it, and they were raving about it.
And then I came
and said, you know, I've just remembered that John Sim thing. Yeah. I want to get some tickets. It ended 6 months ago.
Yeah, you promised to come and see it.
Text me next time, will you?
On this very show.
Will you phone me? Phone me and remind me, because I'm like a toddler. When you're not in my line of vision, you no longer exist. Yeah. That's the problem, you know?
Yeah.
But this sounds great. The new one, Speaking in Tongues at the Duke of York Theatre. So you do, so you just worry a little bit just before you go on.
Well, I mean, I've Ian Hart's in it with me, and who is one of the greatest actors in the world. Great to learn from, but we both got very nervous on the first show, yeah. And there was a moment backstage when you're waiting for the green light to go on, thinking, well, how can I get out of this now? Maybe if I pretend to have a heart attack, what'll happen? I don't know. But
who would have stepped in if you had?
I've got no idea.
Have you got my number? Because I have another part. But
you keep telling me to ring you. I haven't got your number.
Deliberately haven't given you my number, so you can't make me go and see you on stage.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have learnt the lines anyway.
So that's a thing I didn't realise, is that you're waiting backstage and they flash a little light.
I didn't know there was a green light.
Yeah.
Is there a red and an orange one before?
No,
just to warm you up.
No, red light flashing, and then it stops flashing, green go.
So the moment when the red light's flashing, you're still comparatively safe?
Comparatively.
So you're sitting there thinking, it's OK, red light.
You know it's coming. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, could be worse, could be green. It's not green yet. Still safe, still... And then, boom, green
Deep breath,
on,
walk got, on, yeah.
So do you check your flies first?
Do
you check your ears, nose, bumps
check,
of daisy?
Check it all.
Straighten up?
Yeah.
Suck your tummy in?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah, suck the cheeks in, walk
Cough.
On. No, it depends.
No, cough, please. I'm testing you. It's medical.
I wondered what you were doing there with your hand.
He thought I was just being friendly. but it would strike most people as strange that you suffer from any kind of pre-show nerves. I'm sure it's a very human thing, but because you're a very accomplished and successful actor, of course, and you know deep down you can do it.
Well, with the previews, it's because it's essentially you're still kind of in rehearsal, you know, and you're not totally confident with it. I mean, we weren't a week ago. It's getting much better now.
And when you say confident with it, you mean confident what? With just knowing the part, or just the kind of commitment to the performance that you're hoping to give?
Yeah, well, both really. I mean, with this, it's a really it's a strange piece. The first two scenes in it are like it's like a split screen. It's like two scenes going on at the same time.
We said the title of it. I don't know. It's Speaking in Tongues.
Speaking
in Tongues at the Duke of York Theatre, and it's based on something. But we'll get back to that in a minute. So it's a very strange piece. You were saying, how so?
Yeah, it's it was made into a film which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's like a split screen. Scene, the first two scenes, there's two conversations going on at the same time, two couples. It's a double infidelity, and you see both of them happening in the same room.
That's quite confusing.
Yeah, it's quite confusing.
So they're going, and they're talking to each other, but presumably it's an audience-created scene, and that by putting the two, juxtaposing them, putting them together, it creates a whole new thing.
I mean, you're watching the two couples, I mean, they say the same things. Basically, what they're saying is that, you know, you're basically having the same conversation. You know, I'm very nervous, I've never done this kind of thing before. And so we finish each other's sentence. It's like learning a song. It was very, very
hard. So the rhythm is
crucial
at that, I imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how long does something like that, you block that in beforehand, no doubt, in some sort of church hall or grotty space?
It's exactly what we did.
For some time beforehand. how long do you spend, I mean, presumably an opening scene you'd really want to put the work into, because no one's going to leave at the opening scene, but certainly they're going to make up their mind whether they come back after the intermission.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not all like that. I mean, it's the first two scenes. They're not really very long scenes, but and then it sort of goes into a kind of a normal play. But then the second half, there are whole new characters, and it's a real challenge for the audience as well. I mean, you've really got to watch it, you know, and it's it treats the audience as adults. It's a proper grown-up play.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned that the play had been turned into a film already. It's an Australian film, I seem to recall, called Lantana.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and I hired this, put the way that I hired this, and I started watching it. I fell asleep, I'll be honest with you. But it's because it was quite late, and it was quite complex.
Yeah,
it's
quite complex.
Because I didn't commit to working I was going on, yeah, my age off. I was sleeping. Yeah. I was like him, Bully the Bull over there. I was fast asleep. Dreaming of pastures. Everyone I know who's seen the film says it's incredible. And it's multi-layered, complex, and but you have to pay attention.
It's got that 6 degrees of separation thing going on. A lot of the characters are all intertwined, and there are stories told in the first half that you see in the second half, and you think, oh, that's what they were talking about.
So it's a back reference, and if you're not paying attention then, it wouldn't have the same resonance.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I would have thought quite a complicated part to be involved in.
It is, and we're playing two parts as well, you know, we're doubling up. And
that's the credit crunch for you.
Yeah.
is that what that is, or is it some other way?
It's like your corned beef sandwiches.
Can you believe that? Word spread, even. John Sim came in, he'd already said, apparently.
It's all over the internet.
It's been on the Amnesty website already. They're saying, there's a guy, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we come out, there's a demonstration outside. Free the corned beef 11. The show, when's the press night, and when is it open properly to the members of the public?
Well, it's open now.
You can go and see it?
Yeah, you can go and see it. We've got a full house every night with the previews. We finish the previews on Saturday nights, and then the press night's on Monday.
Wow. And then, so the press night is when you get the reviews, of course.
Yeah.
Do you have an inkling in advance as to whether or not people have seen it? Do people from the papers come beforehand to get an idea? I would have thought a complex piece like this, it might benefit them seeing it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know whether the press do, but I've had a few people in and they've liked it, you know.
Friends who you've called and texted in advance.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for
the
call.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I haven't got your number.
You haven't got your number?
Have you not got my number?
No, you keep saying ring me, but I haven't got your number.
I'll write it down for you later. Okay, so you love doing this, don't you? You love being on stage.
It's a challenge, isn't it? It's for an actor, if you do loads of TV and film, you can get quite lazy with it. I mean, you don't get nervous with it, and I think that's always a sign that.
And you can always
happen.
You can do a retake. You can always do it again.
You can
change it and fine tune it right there on the moment. Whereas here, you've got to be in the scene with all the other folks.
Yeah, on the ball, and it's better because you get to be the character for longer. You know, you're doing a take. It's like maybe 2-3 minutes.
Mm. And I guess at the end of the here every night you're telling the story. You're telling the whole story.
Exactly.
So that must be a lovely feeling. Just for you, the kind of sense of closure and completion at the end of the day.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, rather than doing 2 or 3 scenes. We'll talk some more about Speaking in Tongues at the Duke. It does sound tremendous, though. Mm. You were saying you'd seen the posters for it.
I've seen Lantana. It's been fantastic.
Did you stay awake?
Yes.
And so you could tell, because it was quite confusing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I found it very confusing.
Well, again, it's a film for grown ups, and it's a play for grown ups. So you fall asleep.
I'll start with something else then. I went to see Play Away. Remember with Brian Cage years ago?
Did you fall asleep?
I saw that live once. No, I loved that. And I was a bit older than most of the audience. I was probably still quite young. I was about 11 or 12, but older. I remember waiting outside to see him, and he came out and signed autographs and everything.
Did he?
He did not come out on a space hopper, though. What we were hoping. He came on stage in the space hopper.
Yeah.
P-L-A-Y, play away, play away, play away. But no, he didn't come out afterwards.
Mm. Left it in his dressing room. Wasn't Jeremy Irons in Play Away?
He was, but not in this one here. He'd flown a strop and gone off.
Oh, no.
Something wrong with the curtains.
He'd become an actor.
They couldn't agree on the music. All right, let's put some music on. John Sim will still be with us after this. Very nice. And
a band called The Swell Season. That's that guy Glenn Hansard who won the Oscar for the music from Once.
Did he?
Years ago. Yes.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, he was an Irish busker in it.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought the music was great. I hated the film.
Right. Well, he won the Oscar.
But it was a very popular film.
Yes.
And good luck to him. Hey, John Simmons with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's on stage here in London. If you're down in London, you're lucky enough to be in the capital city for whatever reason, go and see John at the Duke of York Theatre in London's glittering West End. He's on stage till December the 12th. Speaking in Tongues is the play. It sounds, don't take toffees, don't cough, don't rustle. Don't try and take pictures, uniforms. Don't shout out, who, Doctor Who? You don't like that.
No, don't do
that. Don't say, life on Mars. No, none of that rubbish. Welcome back. You're still alive. Didn't die at the end. Don't do that. You don't want any of that.
I had that in Elling. Someone shouted out in Elling, he's not dead. He's not dead.
Who was it?
I have no idea.
Someone who had just woken up from a coma.
Yeah. Overzealous, shall we say, sci-fi fan.
That's not good.
No.
That's not nice. And also, it's not kind of respectful of the other people who've paid money to go and see it. Do you get, is this one of those theatres where occasionally you can hear sirens in London.
Well, you can, in any theatre, I think you can hear on tubes.
Because, of course, they were designed back in the day when we didn't have such things. It was mainly you might occasionally hear an old man shout, bring out your dead, but that was it. Now, a modern London city, it's sirens and tourists, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bottles being smashed.
Yeah.
You don't happen to have Stephen Burkle's number on you, do you?
Not on me.
I've got to give him a call. You know we had him on the shelf. Just remember that. You know you were saying about calling.
No, you haven't been to call him.
I gave him his number. He called me. Stephen Burkle, if you'd care to call me back, that'd be lovely. I wrote down the number. I've lost it. He's thinking I'm the rudest man in the world.
Oh, he'll be angry, won't he?
You don't want to get him angry. He's like the Hulk.
Not really.
He's like the Hulk after the change, before he changes. Okay, what else is going on in your life, John? We should get Doctor Who out of the way. It's okay to say that you're back in the Doctor
Who. Yeah,
show,
I think it's official, isn't it?
It's been all out there. Yeah,
it's out. Yeah.
Playing the Master, of course, a great part. The first time I saw you in it, it was a two-parter, wasn't it? Was it a two-parter?
Yeah.
And it ended.
Well, three-parter. So Derek Jacobi turned into me.
Oh, that's right.
And then there were two. Yeah, sound of drums.
Yeah, because we didn't know it was you early on.
That's right.
He fooled us all, that Jacobi.
Yeah.
And then the other two was great. And it ended, of course. It was quite sad and poignant, and because it was essentially the Doctor, we felt at the time, saying goodbye to the only other Time Lord.
That's right. And me sort of saying that I've won because I will not regenerate and I'm going to leave you on your own.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a kind of cruel twist at the end.
Cruel to be kind, yeah.
And yet now we find that he did indeed come back.
Oh, he's back all right.
Oh, and what can you tell us? Tell us what happens. Tell us the ending.
I can't tell you that.
Just tell us the ending. Don't tell us all of it.
All right, I'll tell you the ending.
No, don't, please.
The producers are sweating now listening to this.
Can you imagine if we did? Can you imagine the hatred we would find ourselves on the receiving end of?
We'd have to barricade ourselves in.
What a great television programme. What a great chunk of British television history to be a crucial part of.
Oh, it's fantastic. It was such fun to do. I mean, it's brilliant to be asked to go back and play that character again. And, you know, and Russell had written these amazing scripts because, obviously, they're David's last hurrah.
Don't say that. I don't even want to hear that said. Well, I'm looking forward to the new bloke with the weird chin and the big hair, but don't even say that. I don't even want to hear you say
it's
that.
It's a hell of a way to go, though. It's great, great.
It's all coming out now. Mm. It's making it a bit too real. I might never watch them.
Really?
I might save it so David Tennant can still be Doctor. Well, I'll give Matt a chance. If I don't like him, I'll just pretend David's back. No, I'm sure Matt will be great as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, I know some of the people who are writing the next series.
Yes.
I'm not allowed to say who they are, what they're writing, but I know a little bit what's going on, and they've all said that his performance is tremendous.
Oh, but it is. He's a great actor.
How lovely is David Tennant? I think officially he may well be the loveliest man on the planet.
Yeah, copyright, I think. Oh, yeah, officially the nicest man in the world.
Got a little stamp on his bum. It's like a little, you remember that little thing he's got on eggs? He's got that on his bottom. The official British standard of niceness right there.
Yeah, he's great. And he's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant doctor. Well, yeah, he's just been wonderful.
So good. Did you work with, was Bowerman sniffing around on the set when you were there?
He was sniffing around on the set. I didn't get any scenes with him this time, no. Last time I got to kill him about 13 times because
of course
he never dies, does he?
I cannot think that it can be anything but great fun to be on a set with David Tennant and John Bowerman.
I cannot tell you how much fun it is. Yeah. It is amazing fun. It was wonderful to do.
And
wonderful
to be part of Doctor Who. I'm assuming you watched it when you were a kid.
Of course I did, yeah. And also Bernard Cribbins plays a big part in this one.
Ah, yes.
Hanging out with Bernard Cribbins, who would do any womble at the drop of a hat.
He just does it.
Yeah, I'd warn him, listen, you know, I'm going to probably throw you a womble at some point, and I want you to do his voice. And he went, whenever you want, my boy, whenever you want, I'm ready.
It's like an improv exercise, you know?
Yeah, just walking past in the morning, Orinoco, and he'd do it. Do it, Orinoco, Uncle Bulgaria, like that, drop of a hat. Fantastic. Madame Chollet. Brilliant.
Although, can I say, with perhaps it's a guilty admission, but my heart used to sink when the Wombles came on because I knew we weren't getting a cartoon.
Oh.
You know, it used to be, because back in the olden days, kids today don't know how lucky they are.
No,
they've got 18 channels, but back in the olden days, you maybe got one cartoon a day, and it was normally at 10 to 6. So you'd wait, will it be Tom and Jerry? Mm. Will it be Tom and Jerry? Will it be Tom and Jerry? And there's dum 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 dum. Oh, it's not going to be Tom and Jerry. I mean, Wombles. And it's all about cleaning up, really.
Yeah.
I mean, even the clangers.
It was eco-friendly, wasn't it?
Pick up your rubbish. I don't need a Womble to tell me that.
No, but they were nice, the Wombles.
Oh, they were. I look back now with great fondness.
Oh, lovely. And when we did the read-through, I thought, there's something about that guy's voice that's making me cry inside. What is it? And then I remembered, the Wombles, of course. And he's brilliant, Bernard Cribbins.
He's great.
Such a lovely guy.
We're changing the subject, but you know whose voice does that for me, in case you're interested? John LeMessurier.
Of course.
He did. Remember the Velveteen Rabbit? You don't know that one?
The Velvet. Maybe you dreamt that.
Maybe I did. I think it was written by Pinter. Put some music on. I'll do a web search. We'll come back.
Pinter,
I'll tell
bro.
You The Black Eyed Peas there with Fergie and them other ones.
Yeah.
We got with us John Sim, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking in Tongues is where you can see him at the moment, on stage, Duke of York Theatre, London's West End. Don't listen out for the sirens. Instead, focus on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will see, I'm sure, some fine performances.
It's got a great cast, you know. I mean, Lucy Cohu and Kerry Fox, of course, and Shallow Grave, and the brilliant, brilliant Ian Hart.
Ian Hart, who, of course, many will know best for the Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, of course.
He's done so many fine films. Speaking of movies, speaking of TVs, that kind of thing, we've mentioned Doctor Who. When is that one going out, by the way?
That's Christmas Day. And,
and
I think New Year's Day. I've never been on Christmas Day before. I'm very excited.
That is exciting. So it's a two-parter?
Yeah.
And then is that the end of it then? Right. Is there one before then? Is there one kind of like between
Then? There's one to go, I think. There's like, because they made a few specials, didn't they? I think there's one called Waters of Mars, which
hasn't been out. That's right, which looks great.
Out.
It looks great. I've seen trailers of that.
That looks great, yeah.
And then after that, there's the ones with the Master and the Doctor.
Yeah, the Master's back.
And what's it called? Do you know what they're called?
I think it's called The End of Time.
Oh, God.
You know, There's no pressure there, then, on the new Doctor, is there?
No. He's got to start time all over again.
Yeah.
I won't ask you anymore, because I would hate if accidentally you gave anything away. Or
no,
don't
make me give anything away.
It would be terrible. Mm. But after that, do you know what you're doing after this play? How far ahead do you work? How far ahead can you structure and build your working year?
Oh, well, I'm not planned. I haven't planned anything for the new year. I'm up until Christmas Day, and then that's my year.
Is that nerve-wracking?
No, not really. It's all right. I'm all right. I think
because you're in demand. People come knocking, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of scripts. I mean, I've got a great spider sense for good writing, and I think I have anyway. So I can sort of sift through the scripts and pick something that's good. That's if they keep coming, they might not.
Yeah. Would you write anything yourself? Could you write? Are you a writer?
I'd definitely have a go one day. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, because I'm a big fan of good writing. So
so which way would you lean? Given what kind of genre are we talking about? I can't imagine it being a rom-com.
No.
It'd probably be quite gritty, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
Gritty?
Yeah.
Dirty, a northern man.
Gritty, dirty and northern.
Yeah, a northern miner who finds out, in actual fact, he has a great talent for flower arranging.
Yeah.
Like the flower man of Alcatraz, something like that.
Yeah.
Seriously, have you ever thought about it? Have you got any ideas in your head?
Nothing concrete going round, but something will come one day. I'll write that book.
Start scribbling.
Yeah, I will.
Which kind of movies do you prefer going to see? Given a choice, what would you like? For example, okay, let me give you 3 evenings of the week. Tell me what kind of movie you want to go and see.
Okay.
It's a Friday night. What do you want to go and see at the cinema?
Friday night, I don't know, you want something exciting, fast-paced, a bit of maybe a Tarantino movie or something.
Action film, maybe John Travolta in a cameo?
Maybe something like that would be good, yeah.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, I'm thinking an oldie and a goldie.
An oldie and a goldie.
An oldie and a goldie.
Casablanca.
Yeah, something like that. I saw a fantastic old film that I'd never seen before the other day. It was with Sidney Poitier and Spencer...
Spencer Tracy. Was it Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah,
it's a great film.
What a film.
And, of course, Catherine Hepburn.
Yes, Catherine Hepburn.
I think she won the Oscar for that. I think she may have won one of the Oscars
for that. Didn't Poitier win an Oscar for that?
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
What a film that was.
It's a good film. It's a great film.
Brilliant film. So I'm bang on the oldies at the moment. I'm going to go back and discover more.
We'll scribble down a list. I'm big on the old films. I'm about to do a course at my kids' school. I'm going to do a cinema club from there, and I'm going to be taking them through the oldies.
Oh, great.
Kids don't get to see the oldies.
No. My little boy's not interested in black and white. I got him the Laurel and Hardy box set, which he loves Laurel and Hardy. Yeah. Absolutely loves it. Won't watch it unless it's in the colour bit. Let's watch the black and white.
Here's the thing. Maybe I shouldn't. As far as I know, BBC these days, you wouldn't get on BBC One, they won't show a black and white movie.
No.
They won't show a black and white movie.
That's shameful.
It is kind of shameful, but you can kind of understand it in a way because the younger audience won't come knocking.
What about Raging Bull, things like that?
Well, you have to lie and say there's a lot of colour in the middle.
Yeah.
There's a bit of colour. If they showed that, there'd be a strip going across the bottom saying colour coming up soon.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Don't panic.
Don't turn over. There's only Suba on the other side. Stay with us and you'll see some good boxing. Okay, we've done Sunday. Wednesday, it's a Wednesday evening. You're there with your missus. I know you've got kids. Suddenly, surprisingly, you get offered some free babysitting. What are you going to see?
Oh, Wednesday. I'm thinking something quite cerebral.
With the wife.
Maybe a French film.
Yeah, you've got to pretend to like something different.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
Something with a lot of talking and emotion.
Yeah. Three colours red, blue, white, one of them.
Two people in the room talking about their feelings. Shoot me. I'm pretending to choke on the popcorn. I'm going to get out of this somehow.
Yeah.
Was that Robbie Williams?
Yes, Robbie Williams' single called
Bodies. I thought
it was
Robbie Williams. I've got him coming on my talk show later this year. I'm looking forward to that. I love the Robster.
I think that single grows on you a bit. I think when we first heard it was
really nice. No, he's got a good voice. Hey, John Simmons with us. John, you ever been in a musical? You ever wanted to do musical theatre?
When I was a young man at college in Blackpool, I did West Side Story.
Which part did you have?
Riff.
You were Maria?
Yeah, Riff.
Riff, okay.
Yeah.
Riff, when you're a jet.
You're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last night and day.
When you're
you can't remember the rest.
Yeah.
No,
so about
song,
something hitting the fan.
Officer Krupke.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
He would remember. He was in it.
I was in it. I know. What else did I do?
There's a place for us.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
John's not joining in anymore.
No,
he doesn't want to be taken back to Blackpool Community.
Riff doesn't sing that one. No.
Which one did Riff sing?
He thought the cool one, the cool song.
Boy.
That's it, yeah.
Crazy boy. Play a cool boy.
That's almost exactly how I did it.
We're ending the show early, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be out in the car park doing a musical.
Guys and Dolls, I did. That was a guy. Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's a great one.
I got the paper here. It says the Paul Revere. Ba-da-ba-ding. Bum, 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 bum.
Adelaide.
Can
Adelaide.
Do. can do.
This a poison can develop a cold. I sounded more like Popeye singing that, unfortunately. Yeah. Not like a sexy dozen. Yeah, poison. Where's my spinach? John Sim can so be seen doing none of those voices.
Yeah, what have musicals got to do with it anyway?
Nothing. I just thought I'd like to see you singing musical. And dancing.
I did one that made me stop doing music forever. I did one called The Boyfriend where I had to do a tap dance.
Oh, Boyfriend?
That was awful.
Is that the one that Twiggy did?
It's in the movie, but I don't know. How do they do that on stage? Because the film was a kind of layered thing, wasn't it? It was about a cast auditioning.
Ken Russell,
wasn't it? Ken Russell.
Mad old film.
Yeah. So you did that on stage?
Yeah, and that was it.
Which part did you play there?
It.
Which one?
The guy, the boyfriend, the boy, Tony, is he called? The guy, the pillbox
hat. Bland part.
Terrible part.
Did you wear a pillbox hat?
Pillbox hat to tap dance.
Did you have a veil that you pulled down in front of it?
I thought, that's it. I'm a normal actor. I'm a straight actor. That's it.
You don't happen to have any pictures of yourself in the pillbox hat, do you?
No, I'm sure there are some knocking about.
Oh, that's a great set. And it was quite a tight sateen outfit.
It was horrible.
Can you tap?
No.
No. Well, the more reason not to do it. See, that must have been a show when the green light came on, your heart really did sink down.
I don't think they had green lights then. That was well before green light.
Just someone in the front row would cough and you'd all walk out.
Yeah, no.
Ready? Action! Pillbox!
Yeah.
John Sim, despite the way we're teasing him now, is one of our most gifted actors. I've got to say one thing. I loved you in. There was a Channel 4 drama called The Devil's Whore?
That's right, yeah.
A fabulous piece of
thank
work.
You.
Grim and about as kind of gritty as you could hope a drama would be.
Awfully gritty, yeah.
But a fabulous piece of work. Yeah. And even with Under the Wigs and the Hair, tremendous acting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of saying it lightly, but at the same time, that's a tough call for an actor because sometimes it doesn't look right. It doesn't look right in people's faces necessarily. It doesn't look right, but you need it for the part. But
Absolutely.
It looked perfect, was brilliantly put together.
Yeah.
I don't
really
know who
well
did
directed.
The wigs and hair, but they themselves deserve an award.
Yeah.
And it was a fabulous piece of work. Once again, something that doesn't come along too often, but I guess you seize the chance to do those.
No, absolutely. It's one of those, with the cast as well, Michael Fassbender, Dominic West, and Andrea Riseborough. It was a brilliant cast. I know the director. Mark is a brilliant director, and the script was amazing, mainly by Peter Flannery. It was like the next thing after Our Friends in the North, and he'd been writing it for that long, so I knew it was going to be good.
That's a long write. It must have been like 8 years writing it. Then.
Yeah, years and years, and it was fantastic to do. And we did it in South Africa and. Horse riding, sword fighting, it was wonderful.
Had you mastered those skills before?
No, I'd done a little bit of horse riding, but this was something else. I mean, we're riding through the mountains, you have to wear the silly hats there.
It must be wonderful. I myself will not get on a horse.
Why?
Because they throw people off.
Yeah, they're a bit scary at first, but yeah, my horse was great. I think it was a trained horse. I wouldn't get on any horse.
What was your horse's name?
I can't remember.
Oh.
It had a really strange name, and I could
all
never
the
remember
reason
it.
If you remember. We'll make one up.
It's something like Sibelius or something, I can't remember.
Pepe. We'll call him Pepe.
Pepe.
Oh, where's old Pepe now?
Yeah.
Where's Noggin? About John?
Noggin is carrying. Noggin's two-timing you with someone else.
Yeah.
There's a fat actor sitting on his back right now. He's going, wish I had that bloke from Life on Mars back. He weighed nothing.
Yeah.
John, great to see you. If you get the chance, ladies and gentlemen, please, like me, go and see Speaking in Tongues at the Duke of York Theatre. I'm going to go and see it soon.
Are you going to go?
Are you going to go?
Because
you said
if
that
I leave
time.
It too long, I'll forget. I just forget. I genuinely just forget. It's like, I tell you what, I bumped into Sean Bean a little while ago. He was coming out of a hotel. I went, oh, you still doing Macbeth? You went that only 4 years ago. I went, missed it.
Yeah.
I just forget. And then when I see him again, I go, oh, I want to see that. You know what I mean? So I definitely want to come and see it. And I promise this time I won't shout anything out like I did last time.
Oh, that was that. I knew that was you.
Yeah,
I recognised the list.
Yeah,
I remember.
All right. Great to have you here. John Sim, ladies and gentlemen. Good luck with the play. Not that you'll need it.
Cheers.